So just for the parish mission, so we have this tonight, tomorrow, and then Wednesday, same schedule. And then also for confessions, I will be on the epistle side. And then Father McManus for Monday and Tuesday will be on the gospel side. But then he flies out to get the holy oils from the seminary on Wednesday. God willing, we'll be back on Friday for that. But then after the mission, we'll have the singing of Compline. And then after that, as I say, we'll have the confessions. We'll hear confessions as long as necessary. I just mentioned, if you can, if you were planning on maybe making a general confession, if you could possibly just kind of wait near the end of the line as best you can to know where that end of the line is, just to allow other people to be able to go to confession beforehand. So I mentioned in the sheet that I gave to the parish that the theme of this is, why did you come here? It is a question that St. Bernard of Clairvaux had asked himself every day once he entered the monastery. And he kind of answered the question to himself that, one, he wanted to try to leave the world behind. Two, he wanted to love and serve God above all things. And then finally, to gain eternal life. And so for us, we can kind of carry out this process in a three-step manner. You know, one, we can renounce the world, the spirit of the world, through a life of penance. A second means for us is to serve God and imitate Christ through a life of virtue, especially that of charity. And then finally, to attain the mystical union with God through prayer and contemplation. And so we'll see that in each of the conferences. We'll take the first one tonight of renouncing the spirit of the world through a life of penance. And from that, we'll touch on St. Bernard's life, his doctrine, his writings, but then also trying to tie in a bit of the sacred triduum, the 3 days, and trying to look at that and apply that also when we're looking at these conferences. And then finally, to try to make an application or some guidelines for us to try to live by. So it's kind of the setup, we can say, in terms of what we'll look at in each of the different conferences each night. So as I mentioned, with this first one, we're looking at the renouncement of the spirit of the world. And I think it's important then to see with St. Bernard of Clairvaux of how it took place for him that he would enter into the monastery. After losing his mother to death, St. Bernard seemed very lost, not sure exactly what then to do. But he said, one day a voice sounded in the depths of his heart, "Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Take up my yoke upon you, and you shall find rest to your souls." You find that in the Gospel of Matthew 11:28-29. And for St. Bernard, these words gave him a heavenly longing, and that it took possession of his heart. And so therefore he would go, and he stopped at a church and entered it, and he prostrated before the altar. He had prayed with many tears, raising his eyes to heaven, and the words of the prophet, pouring out his heart like water before the face of the Lord. He said at that moment a deep calm fell upon his soul. The breath of God rekindled the lamp of his spiritual life. And then from there on, he consecrated his life forever to God. And he said, therefore, he took up joyfully the yoke of him who is meek and humble of heart. And so we see how God called him to that step of the monastery. And for St. Bernard, it was passing through a purifying process. And then passing through that, he would become this light, this lighted torch in the hand of God. Prepared then to give this light to the church itself. We know with St. Bernard, he was called to exercise over the age in which he lived. And he received the title of the Oracle of the 12th century. That he would be this light to this world. And not only in the religious aspect, we'll see a little bit of that tomorrow, but he had an influence over many different people. And that influence is something that God called him to. And that we would know that his zeal would know no bounds. It seems that the divine fire that descends into a soul, it purifies it and transfigures that soul. You see in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, I have come to cast fire on the earth, and what will I but that it be kindled? And so this fire that burnt within him, it is something that we can say kindled a fire in his whole family. His father, all of his brothers, and then even his sister would enter into the religious life. Where you have the famous book, the family that overtook Christ. But he would bring them because of this zeal that he had, this love for God that he would have. And again, it's something that we'll see a little bit more in the second conference. And so for St. Bernard, he was constrained by the desire to live a life of the evangelical perfection, to follow the gospel itself. And so he ardently desired to leave the world for Jesus Christ. And as I say, after he left, we would see then his family would also leave with him. But they embraced divine providence, not being forced or pushed into that, but it's something that they desired to do. He who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. St. Paul tells us that in Philippians 1:6. And so for St. Bernard, he looked at it in terms of what can be compared to the happiness that he would gain in trying to serve God to all of the goods of this world. That is why then he wanted to try to leave that. And so he would answer his question, you know, why did he come to the monastery? Why did he leave everything? It was to gain eternal life. And so then we look at how did he try to gain that? But then also for us, the application, how can we try to apply that to our own life? So as I said, we renounce the spirit of the world through a life of penance. This is the first step for us. So this spirit of renouncement, we can look to Dom Marmion. And Dom Marmion talks about this mortification that is necessary for us. And it is a mortification because we follow our Lord. Our Lord has said, I am the way, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so for St. Bernard, in his reflection on the Gospels, so when he was looking at the Gospels themselves, again, he comes across the passage, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So that denial, mortification for us to look at it in terms of the small penances, the sacrifices that we make in order to allow God to work in our soul. And so that's what's helpful for us to think about. I mean, certainly we know from when Adam's fall, man can only return to God by expiation, to make up for. I mean, that is the lot for all of us. It's the lot that all of us are called to because of the fall of Adam and Eve. That therefore then we are meant to try to expiate our own sins. And certainly our Lord is the way. He was the first one to show to us, in a sense, kind of this path of that. Even though our Lord was innocent, he had to pass through these sufferings of the cross before he would enter into his glory. And so again, it's a reflection for us, especially with the sacred Triduum, that our Lord would suffer and go through his passion and his death on the cross before then he would reach the glory of his resurrection. So certainly we know that Christ became a victim for sin, a victim for all of us. So therefore, if our Savior had to suffer these things that he might be able to redeem us, it was to give us the grace to unite our own expiations, our own self to him, and therefore try to render them meritorious. And so that's how we try to look at, the time period of Lent. We've talked about that before in the things that we try to offer up to God, the things that we try to sacrifice or do more in the time period of, say, a Lent. And as one, it is to unite it with the sufferings of our Lord. But that we do try to take things on that will try to help us. Whether it means taking away some of the obstacles to the grace of God, or allowing us to listen more to, we can say, the voice of God to us. And so we know that our Lord expiated the sins of mankind. We, on the contrary, have to first bear the weight of our own iniquities, our own sins. And that is what first and foremost we have to try to do by these penitential time periods. And so we know by our own sins we have contracted a debt towards God's justice. It has to be paid. And that's something that we have to reflect on. It has to be paid whether in this life or in the next. And so that is why then we do try to take on some penances, some sacrifices to mortify one's soul. And so it helps us to have an understanding of why. Why do we do these things? And so that spirit of self-renunciation can help to try to ensure for us perseverance. And we think about the gift of final perseverance, to persevere to the very end. It's a grace that God gives to a soul. And so therefore, we must try to acquire that gift. Because we know we all have the inclination towards sin. Fomes peccati. This inclination towards sin. And that's something that we have to try to fight. We have to battle each day of our life. Because we're inclined to the easy life, the sinful life. And so therefore we have to try to battle that through the mortifications, through the self-renunciation that we try to do. And it is through this mortification which must uproot these tendencies, to counteract these habits, to annihilate this attachment to sin. And so we see the purpose of why. Why do we practice mortification? Why do we have this self-renunciation? And it is necessary not only as satisfaction for our own past sins, but also as a means to preserve us from falling into them again. And so we reflect on when we go to confession. We go to confession and we have to have two qualities, we can say. Being sorry for our sins that we're confessing, but then also that we have to have the amendment of life, a change of ourself. And so what Dom Marmion is trying to mention to us with renunciation, that renunciation, to renounce these things, will help us to persevere against them for the future. That the different ways that we try to practice this virtue will be a means to help us to live a more virtuous life. And so self-renunciation becomes the means and the proof of a more perfect imitation of our Lord. So again, our Lord suffered all of these things as an innocent soul to redeem mankind. We, on the contrary, we practice mortification, we practice self-renunciation to expiate our own sins. But then, as I say, it also, God willing, will help us to persevere from falling into them in the future. So as I say, it's a twofold thing that when we go to confession, we need to try to remember both of those. A contrition for our sins, but then also amendment of our life. So he who desires for my sake to mortify his body with many penances, said the Eternal Father to St. Catherine of Siena, but without renouncing his own will, is wrong in thinking that this is pleasing to me. So again, that idea of kind of checking in our penances, our mortifications with a confessor, with a spiritual director, that we don't try to just take on things. because we have to try to see from what spirit does it come to us. As we see in this quote to St. Catherine of Siena, if we just take on things without, denying our own will, well, then it doesn't end up being pleasing to Almighty God. And that's why it's much safer for us just to check in. And maybe sometimes a confessor or a spiritual director will say, no, just take on a few things or just one thing or something. But it's out of a means to try to help us to see from what spirit does it come. And it is helpful for us to realize that. So happy the soul whom God calls to the bareness of the cross, which is the fount of graces for us. And certainly we think of that with Good Friday coming up. We adore the cross itself. We give adoration to it because it is the means of our salvation. But I think also when you look at that, happy the soul whom God calls to the bareness of the cross. Again, this idea of renouncing ourself. Renouncing ourselves to be able to allow God to work in the soul. And so from this renouncement of oneself, there's also another way that ties into that, and that is through compunction of heart. And again, looking at Dom Marmion, he looks at these two things and saying that compunction of heart helps us to understand and have a sorrow for our sins. He even says that's a habitual sense of contrition for our sins. And he mentions how that helps us to return to God. Since by sin we turn away from God, so we think about a venial sin turns us partly away from God. But then we also, when we think of mortal sin, we turn completely away from God. We turn towards something, a creature, whatever it may be. And so therefore, we have to try to return back to God. And one means of that is renouncing our own will. But then Dom Marmion talks about adding on to that, that there must be also a compunction of heart, a contrition for our sins, and helping us then to see what our sins have done to God. And again, it's a great reflection in this Holy Week. Thinking about what our Lord suffered for all of us, suffered because of sin. And so it's a reflection that we must try to make. If you've been on an Ignatian retreat, there was always the story of the prodigal son. We have the prodigal dinner of when we come back to God's grace. But it's interesting to see how obviously then the prodigal son is symbolic of a soul coming back to God. After they've turned away from God, well, now they come back to Him. And so in the parable of the prodigal son, you see the joy that the father has of the son returning to him. Even though the son has taken his inheritance, wasted all of it, lived like a pig, truly. He lived amongst the pigs. And again, it shows the mire of sin and what has done to that son. And so then for him, he contemplates and realizes what he has placed his soul in. And he says, I'm not even worthy to be called my father's son any longer. So I will go back and I will become a servant for him. So that is his intention of coming back. His intention is just to be a servant because he knows he will live a much better life than he has been living. And yet we see the father embrace him. how he talks about, my lost son is now found again. And so he is overjoyed by that fact, overjoyed by his son coming back to him, that he celebrates, and then the other son is angry by that. Because he looks at it just from the viewpoint of, look, I've never done anything. I've never wasted my inheritance. I've never lived like him. And you've never allowed me to have a celebration like this. So he's truly jealous of what his brother is receiving. And so that is where then we see the father say to his son, this other son, you know, what I have is always yours. But we have to rejoice over the fact of your brother being lost and now is found again. Of a soul coming back to God, returning to him. And that's where we see in sacred scripture, it talks about that the angels will rejoice over one soul doing penance and coming back to God than even 99 that need not penance. And so it should help us to understand of, yes, we need to come back to God. And that is something that is good for us to reflect on in this time period of Lent, especially Holy Week now. We've come to these final few days of truly coming back to God. And so certainly when we look at having a habitual sense of contrition, it is certainly harder to fall into deliberate sins when we have that contrition of heart, this compunction of heart when we have that. And so St. Teresa of Avila had said, sorrow for sin increases in proportion to the divine grace received. And so she's talking about the greater sorrow we will have for our sins is because and due to the graces we receive from God. So working alongside with the graces of God will help us then to have a greater sorrow for our sins. St. Benedict has said, if anyone desires to pray in private, let him do so quietly with tears and fervor of heart. And so that idea and that sense of contrition for our sins. The nearer we come to God, the better we perceive the stains that disfigure us. And so the more we try to live a life that is pleasing to God, the greater understanding we will have of the state of our soul. But certainly not in a sense or a way of looking at a discouragement. But again, looking at how much God has done for our souls, that we will desire to love him more. So therefore, this compunction or this contrition that we have renders us stronger against temptation. As we see in sacred scripture, it says, blessed is the man who endureth temptation. That if we're able to overcome the temptations that God permits us to undergo, that blessed is the man who endureth temptation. And so from there, then we try to understand this idea and this sense of purging the old man. And so if we understand, we must try to leave these sins behind us. So yes, looking at the prodigal son, as I say, he realized to what state his soul had fallen, and he wanted to leave all of that. And so, yes, he purged this old man, this sinful man that lived in the mire with the pigs. And so purging the old man will require from us to free ourselves from the attachments of this world. And so this is where then St. Bernard of Clairvaux realizes that we must try to humble oneself, to have the true humility of recognizing our place before the eyes of God, and therefore then realizing what we must try to do in order to gain that life, eternal life, as I mentioned. So St. Paul talks about putting on the new man, taking away this old man. He said, to put off, according to former conversation, the old man who is corrupted according to the desire of error. It was in Ephesians 4:22. And then in Romans 5:4-6, he says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed to the end that we may serve sin no longer. That we will serve sin no longer. And that is what we must try to gain. Of not wanting to fall into the same sins that we fall into. Making a change of our life. And again, St. Paul says, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new paste as you are unleavened. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. And so again, this idea of purging out the attachments, the desires we have of this world, because these things will weigh us down when we allow the things of this world to weigh us down. And so St. Bernard of Clairvaux, in his Steps of Humility and Pride, he speaks of humility as the means of finding ultimately the truth, which we know is God. But he says that is what is necessary for us to gain that truth, is we must have a humility. And it's interesting to see that for St. Bernard of Clairvaux, that some of the biographers who talk about him say that he felt humility was very difficult for him to acquire. Because he kind of came from a noble background, he was very, very well educated, that he said it was very difficult for him to gain that virtue. But it is a virtue that we see our Lord practiced from the day he entered into this world, coming as an infant, but then we see what he suffered for us. And again, he went that extra mile to prove and to show his love for us by suffering his scourging, by suffering the passion, the crowning with thorns, and then obviously dying the ignominious death on the cross. All of this is an illustration of the true humility that he shows to us that we need to try to acquire. That we need to try to put that into practice in our life. And so St. Bernard, when he was speaking in the Steps of Humility and Pride, he said, before I speak of the different steps of humility, which indeed St. Benedict does not ask us to count, but to climb, I will first try to show what we must expect to find at the top. The toil will be easier if we have the profit before our eyes. And so if we understand what we're trying to gain, it helps us to make those steps toward that. And so that's where he says we're not meant to count how many steps we're going up, but just to climb them. Maybe think of that when we make the Mother Cabrini pilgrimage and making your way up to the very top. Don't count the steps as you're going. It might be discouraging to you. Just climb. Just climb until you reach the very top. And so our Lord had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the way that he shows to us is through humility. And how do we know that? Because our Lord had said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. I mean, it's good for us to ponder these words of our Lord. That is, the way that he wants us to gain is through a humility. And yes, the goal, we can say, is truth. Ultimately, eternal reward. And so therefore, we must imitate our Lord, and we will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Truth is this light, so that we may have true life. And so we see how that comes about. If we want to try to gain that truth that will ultimately lead us to eternal life, we must walk the way of humility. And so again, it goes back to the idea of why did St. Bernard, come? Why did he come to the monastery? Was to gain eternal life. That was ultimately the reward that he was looking toward. So there are some who go astray and cannot find the road. Our Lord Christ to them, I am the way. some doubt and waver in their faith, his word to them is, I am the truth. To those who grow weary with the climbing, his cry is, I am the life. And so again, it comes back to these words of our Lord from the Gospel of St. John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is the means that we go to the Father. And so that is why St. Bernard says the knowledge of the truth is the fruit of our humility. The knowledge of the truth is the fruit of our humility. And that is something that we even see our Lord speaking in parables. And he says, I speak in parables that because some will not understand. It almost seems harsh that our Lord will say, some will not understand because I am speaking in parables. But it is because they do not have the humility in order to listen. They don't have that virtue in order to hear the word of God and therefore to follow. Because their pride, in a sense, we can say blinds them, but certainly makes them deaf to the word of God. And so that's where our Lord says he hides the truth from the proud and reveals it to the little ones. Those that seek to do God's will. And so we need to now try to reflect on humility itself. St. Bernard defined humility as saying it is a virtue by which a man has a low opinion of himself because he knows himself well. And so that's a reflection again to make. A virtue that we have a low opinion of ourselves because we know ourselves well. We know our weaknesses. We know what we fall into. We know the struggles that we have. And that is why then it is necessary, because when we have this low opinion or we know our weaknesses, we will become dependent. We become dependent on Almighty God. That we realize we must rely on God to help us to climb, to make this climb. So again, not just counting all the steps that we have to make and looking at it and becoming discouraged, but we look at it in terms of we need to keep climbing higher and higher. And that's why then Saint Bernard says humility is so necessary for us. And so we try to look at and see, you know, for Saint Bernard, he left everything to ultimately come and receive eternal life. And in leaving things, he left the world, the attachment to the world, and in doing so, to practice the virtue of humility. And so that's why I say, when you look at it in terms of his definition that he gives, it causes us to understand the dependency that we have on God. The dependency that we need to have on Almighty God. So continuing then, St. Bernard talks about three foods that will lead us to eternal life. So he says the first is humility. He said it's bitter, but it's medicinal. And that is something for us to meditate upon. It is bitter to us, but it's medicinal. It'll help us. And that's something that we have to try to look at. And he says it is through the bread of sorrow and the wine of compunction. So again, going back to that idea of the sorrow for our sins and a compunction, a true contrition for our sins. And he said that is the first food that will lead us to eternal life. The second food that he talks about is charity. He said this is sweet and soothing to us. As I mentioned, that is also going to be then part of the second conference. That through this love of God, and love of our neighbor for the love of God, that also will then help us to gain eternal life. And then finally, the third food that he talks about is contemplation. And he said, this is the solid food that we eat. It is the solid food, and it is also what gives us strength. And again, that it will be the third conference that we will end with. This idea and this sense of contemplating God. And so it's something to try to help us to try to see. All of us, we can ask the same question, why do we come here? Okay, it's not that we're coming to a monastery or we're not giving up, but why do we go to God is to receive eternal life. And that is then for us, any penitential time period or when we come to confession, what are we trying to gain from that? It's certainly a greater union with God. And so through these, we can say these virtues that we practice, they will be the steps that will help us. Help us to renounce the attachment to the things of this world. And then how necessary that it will be for us to practice these things in order to try to gain that reward. And so as we're focusing on humility, then when we look at from the sacred Triduum, and all we have to do is look at, obviously, the scourging and the crowning with thorns. It said of our Lord in Luke 18, he shall be delivered to the Gentiles and shall be mocked and scourged and spat upon, and after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And then plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they came to him, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, and began to salute him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. But our Lord would say, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. So we see that in the Gospel of St. John. And so our Lord gives to us this understanding of the humility of what he suffered and what he went through for all of us. And it's certainly something for us to think about when the sacred Triduum comes up. But as we see in this Holy Week, you know, tomorrow and Wednesday, we also have the gospel accounts of our Lord's Passion. And it's good for us to read through the gospel accounts. You know, to see the four evangelists in their portraying of the passion of our Lord. And again, to see exactly what he suffered for all of us. And so that's where then when we make this practical application to our own lives, we understand the need for penance that we must try to do. We all have our sins that we must try to expiate. And that's what we've been trying to do in this time period of Lent. By the things you offer up, by the things you're trying to do for God, you are trying to do penance for your sins. But it also gives us the understanding that we need a true humility to serve God. Because as I say, St. Bernard had mentioned of how humility will help us gain truth. And truth is God. And so we look at the call of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. Yes, he was called out of this world. He was called out of this world, but he shows to us, though, the desire that he had to serve God, to love God. And that is what we try to take from an example of St. Bernard. But as I mentioned with some of the biographers of them saying that he felt that acquiring this virtue of humility was difficult for him. But ultimately, because of his perseverance and because of his love of God, he was able to acquire it. So again, it shows to us that for even for the saints, not all of them just had all of the virtues when they were born. They had to work through it. They had to overcome sometimes their weaknesses and faults in order to practice these virtues. And so hopefully from that, it gives us an understanding of when St. Bernard said, you know, why did you come here? Is to help us to understand that question. And as I say, it's not just a question that a religious asks themselves when they go to a seminary, a convent, a monastery. It is for all of us that when we come to God, why do we come to God to gain eternal life? I mean, to gain the living water from our Lord, which is grace. That is why we come to Almighty God. And we must humbly come to Him, and that is the practice of the virtue of humility. So we'll leave you with the words of St. Benedict in his rule. And the ladder thus set up is our life in this world, which the Lord raises up towards heaven if our heart is humbled. The sides of the ladder, we say, are our body and soul. Between them, our godly vocation has inserted various steps of humility and discipline, which we must mount. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.